Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is Lauren Lemieux, the creator of Coaching to Fulfill Dreams, which is a whole life coaching practice supporting individuals, both personally and professionally, who want to stop settling for overwhelm, confusion, and chaos by discovering the clarity, confidence, and courage to create a life they love. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
It's my pleasure. I am very excited to chat with you today because you have such an interesting story, I feel like, of how you got to where you are with starting your coaching business. And so I would love to start this episode by having you share more about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. My path to coaching came later in my career. Basically, for me, I started in a family business right out of college. My college career was kind of all over the place, didn't really have any direction, you know, and I worked in a family business. It was a boatyard. And when I was in college, Hurricane Bob had actually come through and did a lot of devastation. So I was helping my mom do little things here and there. And then when I graduated, they said, well, why don't you come and work full time? And I had no other plan. So I did. And that began an 18-year career there. But it was never a purpose or a passion for me. It was never something that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So situation, you know, things happen. And it turns out that when I was right around turning 40, things kind of shifted there. And I realized it was my time to go. I had always told myself I wouldn't go, didn't want to leave my mom, who I worked very closely with. But things happened and I seized the opportunity to kind of go off on my own, not knowing what I was going to do until a friend of mine who had been battling cancer, you know, she had been kind of sending out messages of updates on how she was doing. And her messages were live your life, seize the day, you know, don't settle, don't wait, follow your dreams. And I was getting those messages right around the time I was considering leaving the family business. So it really motivated me and I think gave me an extra boost of confidence to say, you know what, now's the time if I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And then when I talked to her, she said, oh my, that's great. You know, so what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, I just want to inspire and empower people to live a life they want to live. And she said, well, what about life coaching? And I said, what is life coaching? Because I had never heard that term. This was in December of 2012. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that phrase before. No idea what it was. I was in a little family business for 18 years. So social media, I really wasn't a part of. And so I had no idea what she was talking about. And then when I Googled it, it was like an avalanche of information came my way. And sorting through all the different opportunities and programs and certifications, I landed on Coaches Training Institute, which is CTI. And now it's called Coactive Training Institute because that's the model in which they train. So I did that. I watched that little video that they had on their website and like the hairs on my arms stood up. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is exactly who I already felt I was. And then to see it as a profession, it completely changed the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped in both feet, training, certification, and I was off and running.
I love it. And it's very clear that the challenge that you went through in your career of feeling like you were in a career that was no longer passionate for you or your calling definitely kind of encouraged you to follow this coaching path. But do you ever feel like at any other point in your life that you thought you could potentially be a coach? Like, has encouraging yourself and other people to follow their dreams been something that you've always been passionate about or something that stemmed from your career change, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And I don't know if it was something that I identified as being passionate about, but it was definitely something that resonated with me.
Yeah,
I remember, I mean, with friends and people, it was always if they came to you to have a conversation or get advice or talk things through, I was always one to just say, well, what do you want to do? Right? Like, and give them the platform to talk it through instead of giving my thoughts, advice, or opinions. And I think the quintessential moment in hindsight, when I turned 16 years old, my parents actually, I was a junior in high school, and I had overheard them have a conversation about once I went to college, they were going to get divorced. And I remember thinking, you're going to wait a year and a half to get divorced once I leave, because that won't be disruptive to my life at all to like
Right.
be like, wait. And I went to them and I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If you guys don't want to be together, don't be together. Like, just get a divorce. Like, what are you waiting for? And they did. Like, they ended, I'm an only child. So it was kind of like a epiphany for them. Like, we're gonna do more damage to her if we stay together for the next year and a half of her life. And then she goes to college and, then we break up.
Right.
So in hindsight, like that kind of mentality of don't like do what you think is best for me. Do what you want to do. And then when you're happy and healthy, then things get better. But I think people get afraid of the change. They don't want to make a change because the uncertainty of what that might mean. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a hard 5 or 6 months with the transition of, my dad leaving, and then they ended up, my dad ended up moving back in and my mom moved out, and like it was like a whole thing. But at the end of the day, when I graduated high school, they were both sitting side by side at my graduation. So had they not taken advantage of that clarity of what are we doing? Like, why are we going to waste another year and a half being miserable just for whatever, I don't know, whatever stability they thought they were going to give me? It ended up that we worked through it. And then by the time I graduated high school, we were truly a family. And, as I've gotten older and I've had my daughter, they've all been together for family functions, and it's been great. So I think that kind of mentality of coming to a conversation, don't worry about the other people in your life. Yes, you're concerned. There's not a selfishness, and I think that's where people get confused sometimes. It's not about being selfish. It's understanding that if you are compromising yourself for the sake of other people, you are not living a full and happy life. And if you're not happy and fulfilled, the people around you are going to sense it, and there's not going to be that connection, and that life won't be as full and joyous as it could be.
Yes, and I love what you just shared about making the choice that's best for you is not selfish. I think that needs to be repeated for everyone like a thousand times over because anyone with people-pleasing tendencies, like myself, speaking from that, I mean, it's really hard to move forward with a decision that you know is better for you without worrying about how it impacts the other party or other people. But you just nailed it on right on the head that it's not selfish and it can actually prevent some damage from happening if you make that decision sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so with that, if you're comfortable talking about this, I would love to hear more about how you navigated that transition of leaving the family business that you had been in for almost 20 years and embarked on your new career, and perhaps any emotions or challenges that you had to navigate throughout that time.
Yeah, well, even though it's 12 years since I left, emotions still come up, and they're still getting navigated because my husband actually worked there as well, and he stayed 7 years longer than I did, which was its own set of obstacles. But I think the there was a lot of guilt, that you manage, especially there's one thing when you're leaving a job. If you like the people that you work with, but there's something bigger for you, and making that decision to seek a different opportunity, it does come with some guilt, and it's scary and frightening. And I navigated that, for years after leaving. And I think with coaching, right? So for me, being able to leave a family business, I had all the emotional baggage. Again, I'm an only child, and I worked closely with my mom and it was my husband and my stepfather. It was actually his business. His family's business. I missed that part of it. Like, I missed the camaraderie. I missed being with my mother every day, and I missed the fun, because we did have fun. It wasn't a hard or bad place to work. It just, I felt like I was in this very hollow existence.
Yeah.
Feel any meaning behind it. And it was very beneficial financially, and we had stability and I had flexibility. My daughter was, she was in early junior high, I believe. And so if there was a function at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was like, hey, I'm gonna go, I'll come back, right? So I had a lot of that autonomy, which was wonderful. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture of boats and the amount of money that people spend on it, and how, we had a lot of wonderful clients, but there were a few that just treated people badly. And it was just, that my customer service skills were not great. And I am the first to admit in hindsight that I did not have the skills or the capacity back then to navigate those kind of conversations. I was immature. I was in my early mid 30s, and I just didn't know what it meant to have those type of conversations. Because what I found in looking back is I was very committed to the staff. I was very much, how are you? Do you have what you need? How can I help to them? And when anything came in from the other side of the customer, I became like a mama bear. And
Yeah.
I was in full defense of my team, and it just that's not customer service, right? And I get that
Yeah.
now, but I had a, I didn't have the skills that I have now. So there's always that what if question. You look back and, well, what if? And it's hard to say that, because what I know now, I didn't know then.
Right.
I don't know how I would have ever known. Like, I can't see how it ever would have come to be that I would able to have that maturity and growth the way that I have it now, and how that would have played into my career back then.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
it can get, like I said, I miss working with my mom. And she ended up understanding. It was hard at first, because when I initially told her, it was like in May of 2012, and she was not having it. She was like, nope, I don't want to do this without you. You're like, you do everything. I like, no, Pretty much it was like, put your big girl panties back on, suck it up, and we're going to figure this out. And unfortunately, it just got worse. And
Yeah.
it wasn't until, and then in the fall, I think some people, when they look at the big picture, they might see it as a midlife crisis. But I think what in I see it as is, it was a midlife confidence that I was like, I don't want to freaking do this anymore, and I
Yeah.
don't have to, right? It's like, you just own the fact, like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. We tell ourselves we do because of the bills, because of the house, because of, expectations, or, we think we have those shoulds, right? Well, I should, and they think, and this is a good opportunity, and what are they going to say if I walk away? But at that moment, I was like, I don't give a sh I don't care.
Yeah.
I did not care what people thought. I didn't care what people said, because I knew that there was a part of me, and I don't mean to be over dramatic, but there was a part of me that was like slowly dying inside,
Yeah.
because I felt so empty in that role. So making the choice to leave, and then finding coaching, and then going through the training, and having it heal a part of me that was hurting from the leave, because there was a big part of grieving that I think people don't give a lot of respect to whenever something ends, right? Whether it be a relationship, and of course, if it's a life, but if it's a situation, a job, whenever something ends and you move on, if the ending wasn't something that was just, everything was fantastic about it, right? Like it was, if there's always, there was something to grieve. And I literally was grieving a life that I thought it was going to be before some of the changes came in, which facilitated my deciding this wasn't for me. But you know, thinking of how I used to think it was, there was a part of me that was sad that it wasn't going to be that way. But the reality was, it wasn't. I think, you know how like you, when you expect something and you think it's going to go a certain way, and then when it doesn't, you kind of get shook up and you're like, well, this is, wasn't what I thought. Well, because you put so much stock in the expectation of how it's going to go, that when it doesn't go that way, you're upset. But at the end of the day, it's something that we do to ourselves by setting up those expectations. Like that comes up a lot with coaching, right? In
Totally.
conversations, like a lot of times people get so upset and disappointed, but they, it's something they kind of created themselves. So understanding that when you pull back on expectations, and that's not to say anything against dreaming or visualizing or manifesting, like putting things out into the world of what you want. Absolutely. But when you set a very, when you have a very clear expectation about how something is going to go and it doesn't go that way, that disappointment is from an internal place, not external.
Right, absolutely. And I have to say, I love the phrase that you shared of midlife confidence. I
Yeah.
have never heard that before, and I think that is incredibly powerful, and I think it's a really great way to reframe some of that negative self-talk some people might have. And like you said, you nailed it. It's not just going through a midlife crisis of doing something rash or without any intention behind it. I mean, you built up the confidence to make that change, and you knew 18 plus years later of probably all the stuff piling on time after time after time, you just knew that it was time to make a change. And so, your story just really reminds me of the quote behind me for anyone who's watching the YouTube video. It says, "Get comfortable with the uncomfortable." And I feel like from what you shared, like that's totally it.
Absolutely, 100%. One, because you can't, there's, first of all, there's no growth in comfort, right? There's no pushing yourself. There's no challenges when you're comfortable. You know, it's okay to be comfortable for a little while, but then when you start feeling that itch or the it's funny, when you start feeling the discomfort of being comfortable, it's like, okay, so what now? And then your brain starts to spin and you're like, oh man, but that means change, and change is scary, and what do I do? And I think people can get so wrapped up in all of the what ifs, you know, again, to kind of talk about how important coaching can be. You have those, it's a safe place to have those conversations, right?
Absolutely.
Without putting it on someone who cares about you, who might be afraid for you. Like, oh, that's risky. You're thinking about moving across the country or moving to a different, oh man, ooh, that's like, what would you do? How would you do that? And they get so caught up on the logistics. And when you're working with a coach, it's just about what would that look like? You know, and it's open and exploratory. So you can think and really feel what it would be like. Yes, there's still a logistic that would need to happen. But there's no judgment and there's no attachment to any of the decision.
Yes, absolutely. And so once you made that transition in 2012, started to look into being a coach and going through the training and certification, I would love to hear more about how you've built up your coaching business since, the types of clients that you work with, how you support them, all of the fun stuff. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, when I was in coach training, right? My vision of what I was going to do, talk about expectations, is I envisioned myself, even though this was, it was back then, it was before the phrases of talent development, employee engagement, those weren't really around, right? And I mean, I hadn't heard them. I wasn't in corporate anyway. But in looking back, that's what I thought I was going to be doing. I thought I was going to be trained and then certified, and then go get a job somewhere and work for an organization to support their team and help them overcome their challenges and see the good things and help, you know, navigate the hard times. Like that's what I thought I was going to do. And at the end of it, they start talking about think of your business name and, no, go, you're gonna go be a coach, like go find clients. And I was like, what? I had zero interest of being an entrepreneur. Was not, I appreciate the drive that some people have and the vision and I like zero. When I say zero interest, like it was like so shocking to me. Like, what do you mean I have to go find clients? Like, what? And in the thinking of a name too, like a lot of people use their name for coaching and, and I was like, what's my name going to be? And the how I got to coaching to fulfill dreams is if you take it as an acronym, CTFD, I was talking with a friend of mine and we were just kind of like, I was sharing all the different things that was going on. And he, before I had that acronym in mind, he says to me, CTFD. And I was like, CTFD, what is that? And it's calm the down. And I had never even heard that before. So I loved the calmness and the humor behind it. So I literally wrote the acronym down and then played with words to fit the acronym.
Oh, no way.
So that's how I came to Coaching to Fulfill Dreams, CTFD, right? And I was fresh out of training, going into certification in the fall of 2013. And my cousin said, oh, I have a friend who's in a this networking group and she really enjoys it. So check it out. So I did, and I went to a BNI in my area. I'm still a member. And that was an it gave me more than a business framework. Because what I was finding was as a solopreneur, you are by yourself, right? You're doing things. And so it gave me the camaraderie that I missed so badly from the boatyard that it was kind of like a, it was, I feel it was a gift to actually be able to find it because I hadn't heard of it until she said something. So that for me is when things kind of took off. And even when I started, a lot of the guys and the women, they didn't know what they might know what like a health coach or they'd have a financial coach or they had ideas of specific situations, but in thinking life coaching, a lot of people were mixing it up with therapy, right? And there was a negative connotation around coaching versus an investment or a positive spin. So as I began to speak about it more and really just share that it's about investing in yourself, right? And if you're living a life that you are not content, if you're not content, if you're not happy, if you're not feeling like your goals and your dreams are being honored, then there's a resource for you to sort it all out. Right. And that's for me, like one of my very first clients I was connected to through a colleague in the coach training. And we worked together for a couple of years. She was in Texas. She was a school administrator, had her bachelor's degree, but she had a big, big dream that she wanted to go to Harvard, get her master's, and then eminently start a company to have this, collaboration between community and parents and teachers. And she was Latina and she was this passion. And as we were coaching, things would come up, like the time to come up to apply to Harvard. And she got a little bit, she wasn't sure. And she had the confidence. She's like, I'm going to do it. So she applied and she got in. And then it was the money piece. How am I going to do it? And she just kept all the questions, she just took one thing at a time until she was in Cambridge and she went to Harvard and now she has this amazing company where she is thriving, winning awards of just being a business person, a thought leader, a community leader. And I'm not saying that wouldn't have not happened had we not coached, but what the coaching gave her was specific times every other week to have these conversations. To think out loud, to dream out loud, to have her vision validated. Like they say, it's like if you speak it to somebody, you're more inclined to do it,
Yeah.
right? Or if you writing things down is huge for people, right? But coaching gives you that opportunity to have your dreams be validated. And that has been a recurring theme. It's not moving across the country and going to Harvard for everyone, but it is a lot of it is about changing careers or refocusing in a career or having personal ambitions melt into your life when you're maybe so focused on your professional life, right? It's learning how to say no, right? Pulling back on the people pleasing, learning how to put yourself in your aspirations just as a priority as your spouse or your kids or your family. And those are the conversations that come out in coaching.
Yeah, and what you shared there reminds me of this quote or phrase, and I know I'm totally going to butcher it, but it's the idea of in order to help someone, you have to make sure that your own life vest is on first. And so I feel like that's what you're sharing reminds me of is that people who are going through all these exciting, although overwhelming and probably nerve-wracking changes in their lives, although it's great, it is going to end up being a little scary, but it's also benefiting other people in the process too, in one way or another. And so just from what you shared of the hurdles that you've helped your clients through and overcome on the other side, it just reminds me a lot of that mentality or that idea.
Yeah, it's that being on an airplane when they say the oxygen mask.
Yes,
Right? That
exactly.
phrase, put it on first before you help others. And that is what kind of that metaphor for making sure you feel the support and the attention that you bestow on others. If you don't give it to yourself, your cup is gonna dry up really fast.
Yes, absolutely. And one point I want to go back to is the point that you mentioned that you were totally against the idea of starting a business, which is funny that you bring that up because we've actually had a few guests who have had this who have said the same thing where they were like, "No way, I'm never starting a company." And it's just so funny to hear how people get to this point. But I'm wondering about what it actually was that made you come to the realization that starting a business was for you. I know you mentioned going to BNI and joining, and also the certification and training process, constantly mentioning the business aspects, but was there one situation that kind of opened you up to it, or I'm just curious to hear more about that, how that happened.
I think it was just very organic for me. It was never really a decision or not. I think the decisions I made were not about how or what comes next with building. It was actually decisions about not quitting and not stopping. Because there were many times from, especially early on, I think when I'm very fortunate where I have a spouse who, we're able to sustain our life and our household primarily with the income that he has, right? So for me, I didn't have the burden of having to earn so much money. So I had that flexibility. It didn't mean that I wasn't in the early years, I was constantly comparing my old salary. Right. So when we worked together, our income was a certain level and it was very comfortable. When I left, it got cut in half. And then when I started the business, the income was there, but it wasn't consistent, right? It's not like you get a paycheck every week. People buy a package and then you get money over here, and then there's weeks that months that go by that, it's very scattered. So my decisions were about, do I go find a real job or do I stick with it? And there was a time from like the I think it was the like the fall of 2015 to the fall of 2019 that I did work for a nonprofit part-time, and it was doing work in the health sphere of like homelessness. So it was a grant that was with a local nonprofit. And it was helping people transition to stability, right? So the coaching role of that program was more about tactical things. It was life skills more than life coaching. But I really, my supervisor was amazing, and she let me really bring in a lot of that into that role. So I didn't deviate altogether, but I had my saboteurs were running rampant on me to like be like, okay, pack it up. You have skills now that you can take into another role. I looked at accounts receivable roles. I looked at, human resources, but then I didn't have certification, even though I had experience. So it was a lot of that telling myself and hearing the story that people say, just when you think you should, when you're thinking you're going to pack it in, just keep going because you never know what's around the corner. You never know when that opportunity is going to come up, and just keep doing it, keep doing it. And then that's what I really leaned into. It's that I loved it. I knew that it was something that fulfilled me being able to work with clients. And every time an opportunity comes up, it was like validating. It's like, yes, like every time a client has an epiphany, every time they are just lit up or broken down, right, by the conversations, like when they learn something about themselves through coaching, it's that reward that you get, right? It's that dopamine hit. It's like, oh my God, this is why I do this. So that's what keeps me going. And it was reframing my defining what my success looked like, not being a financial thing. It's not a number on a page. My success is the gratitude and the success of my clients.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up about redefining what personal success looks like to you, because I feel like that's something I've noticed a lot more people kind of shifting their perspectives around recently over the past couple of years, honestly, probably since the pandemic. But I feel like a lot more people are kind of taking that stuff into consideration, as it might not be the financial component of starting their business, but it might be, like you mentioned, being able to help those clients with their breakthroughs, or the flexibility that comes with being your own boss and stuff like that. And so I think that's a really valid and great point that you brought up as a reminder to people that it looks different for everyone, and that's okay.
And in thinking about a traditional 9 to 5 job, right? For me, it was that, wait, like, so now I'm gonna have to be somewhere from 9 to 5. So it's like, okay, so is the income worth me, not being available to help my daughter if she needs it, or help my parents if they need it, or help a friend if they, things outside of business, being able to do things within the time that I might be somewhere else. It was really that, benefit and what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you're weighing your options, it really was, it was going back and forth. It's like, you know what? I love being able to do what I want when I want. Even, unfortunately for the times where like my dad for the past couple of months has been ill. So I've had the flexibility to show up for him and show up for my stepmother and be present. And I've said to my husband countless times, like, I have so much respect for people who are working a 9 to 5 and have on their plates what I have on my plate. Because it really puts me in a space that I am so incredibly grateful to have designed, that my husband and I have designed our lives to be as they are. Like that for me is that validation that the choices I've made have been right for me.
Yes, absolutely. And as someone who has both gone through transitions and changes, and also coaches people going through transitions and changes, what advice would you have to give to someone who is going through kind of like a tumultuous or changing period in their life?
The advice is to lean into the fact that it won't always be as hard as it seems in the moment. That if you think of what change is, it's ongoing. And knowing that it's not always going to be as hard, you don't know what's coming, but taking the emotions as they come and not trying to push off the feelings of fear or the feelings of uncertainty, the feelings of guilt, feelings of excitement. You know, whatever the emotions are, I think it's a huge part of what I offer clients when I work with them is that agility of the emotional agility of being able to have an emotion without any kind of judgment, without any kind of reprecation, and just be in it. And it's like, okay, I'm feeling scared right now. Okay, so what does that mean? How am I going to help myself? How am I going to navigate this next step? And I, when it transitions, when you don't know what's coming, right? The most of us don't when we make a change. And if you think about going, like sometimes the metaphor I'll use is if you're going to walk down a path or go, say you're going for a hike, right? You know, at the end, you're going for a purpose, right? Usually it's like to the mountaintop or for a view. Or there's something that you're working towards, even though you don't know what that's going to look like when you get there, but you know you're working towards it. But if you really focused on that end and weren't paying attention to the steps you were taking along the way, each step changes the view, right? When you start out, you're in a, on a, you're on a path and you have whatever around you. But the soon as you go 50 or 60 yards into the path, your view is going to change. So don't worry about making decisions about 4 or 5 steps down the road. Stay present in what you're doing in the moment, knowing when you get to that next point, then you'll make the decision. But try to stay present in making the decisions that are current, not something that's too far down the road.
Yes, I agree. And I what you shared about change always being there, that reminds me of the idea of that phrase, the only constant is change, which is so true. I mean, change is always happening in our lives, both personally and professionally.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And it's like, yes, you might go through spurts where the routine is good, everything, like you're clicking and it's working and everything's great. And but at any given moment, something could change. And I think that's that uncertainty. Like if you let yourself think about that, it can go one of two ways sometimes. You can either be super grateful and be like appreciative and just love every second of it. But then you could be like that sh the shoe's gonna drop. When's it gonna change? What's gonna happen? And reminding your brain that you have the capability to stay in the appreciation gratitude part and not be just consumed by that fear of when is something gonna change.
Yes, absolutely. And as we get closer towards the end of this episode, I love to ask our guests what their favorite local businesses are to support. So I'm curious to hear what yours might be.
So for me, I have been on the board of directors for a local nonprofit, actually, Community Boating Center in New Bedford, and their growth over the years. I've been a part of the board, I believe, 9 years now, and being that it's summer, and this is when CBC really shines. So if you love boating, if you love sailing, if you're in the local South Coast, New Bedford area, check out Community Boating Center in New Bedford for your kids, your any educational opportunities. They actually have adult classes too about boating. It's just such a it's a, such a great resource for the community to get kids who are in the area out on the water and teach them about stewardship, about the environment, and about building their own skills to know that they're capable of doing so much more than they ever thought they could.
Yeah, I love that. Lauren, this has been a really wonderful episode, and I've appreciated having you come on the show and share your incredible story about what you've gone through with your changes and inspirational situations that you've gone through. And now I'd love to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect.
Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. For me, I am on Instagram, Coaching to Fulfill Dreams, and LinkedIn, Lauren LeDuc Lemieux is my name. So yeah, I would love to connect and chat. And Ashley, I really appreciate this opportunity. I love watching everything that you do.
Thank you so much. And I will link to all your places in the show notes so that people can easily click through and connect with you from there. But thank you again for being such a great guest today, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.